Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Grant Wall. Welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This week's guest is Adriana Monsalve of Univision Deportes. I've been a big admirer of her work for a long time, but I had never actually met her until doing this podcast interview. For reasons that will become clear in the podcast, she encourages everyone to register to be an organ donor at organdonor.gov. Just a quick reminder, it's a huge help if you subscribe to, rate, and review the podcast. It helps people find us. Onward! Our guest today is Adriana Monsalve of Univision Deportes. She's one of the biggest stars of American soccer television, and she did something absolutely amazing earlier this year, donating one of her kidneys to her brother, Adrián. Adriana, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Grant. Such a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Yeah. I'm a superhero. What can I tell you?
It really is an incredible story. And I wanted to start with that, if it's okay. You just came back to work in late February after donating your kidney to your brother. How are you doing and how is he doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. It's unbelievable how the science, you know, works for transplant, for kidney transplant. And they just make everything easier and really normal for the donor. As soon as you get all the tests and you are, that you are, oh, how do you say that word? Just ran out of my mind.
En español?
Approved.
Yeah.
When you are approved as a donor, they just try to let the world know how easy it could be for a donor. And for me, it's been awesome. I'm really, really healthy. My brother is doing great with, we call my kidney, baby kidney for him because he's like 6'2 and I'm 5'4. So my kidney was really, really small for him, but it's been working as a champ and all the levels that he needs to, you know, to adjust to this new organ are in the right direction. So he's already starting his work from home, mm-hmm. but he's starting to have his, you know, his normal life, and he's great. He feels awesome. So I'm just, you know, happy, really happy.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. Could you possibly tell me the story of what happened that led to you donating your kidney?
Yeah, of course. My dad passed away in 2004, mm-hmm. And he suffered his disease that is called PKD, which means polycystic kidney disease. Mm-hmm. When he was starting doing the dialysis 25 years ago, we got tested to see if we both had PKD, because it's an inherited disease that you get from your mom or your dad. Mm-hmm. So we got tested. We both got tested, Adrian and I, and he got the disease when he was 20 years old. So at that moment, I realized that, you know, that probably my brother was going to need my help somehow. So I decided at that moment that probably I was, you know, I was meant to be, you know, his sister, and to be special for him. And well, he started to live his life totally normal. He went to London to study. Then he got married. Then he moved to the U.S. To work here. And, you know, he had kids, everything like, you know, normal people do. And, well, this disease is a progressive thing. And the function of your kidneys start, you know, the whole process, they stop functioning. And you have either have dialysis or either have a transplant. And here in the U.S., it's you know, kidney diseases are really common. Like the numbers are, they're really, it's afraid. All the numbers that people that need a transplant in this country, and not just in this country, in the world, because kidney diseases are one of the diseases that really affect population. So. When I got back from the World Cup, that I was there for 45 days working, he talked to me and he told me, well, it's time. My kidneys are no longer working. Well, he had like 5% of function until the day of the surgery. So at least he didn't have to go to a dialysis. So he told me that he needed to start the whole process to find a kidney. The time to find a kidney here in the U.S. is 3 to 5 years. And he also mentioned, of course, I knew because my dad was transplanted 25 years ago back in Venezuela, in our country, that was one of the options for him. So he told me, well, we have a lot of options here in the U.S. We have a transplant for a deceased person. We have also the option of someone who can give me the kidney, if it's really matched with me, and the other is dialysis. So, well, at that moment, like 25 years of my life went through really quick again, and I just remember the opportunity that I have to live with my dad when he got transplanted. He lasted 10 years after that, but there were 10 years of quality of life with us. He saw us, you know, graduating from college. He saw us starting a new family with our, you know, partners, and he couldn't see our, you know, his grandkids, but he spent a lot of time with us because that person, when passed away, wanted to donate a kidney. So I said to myself, well, I'm not going to think this too much. I already took this decision 25 years ago when I find out that he was having the PKD. So I said to him, well, I just want to be tested. And I want to see if I'm, you know, able to give you my kidney. So we started the whole process just right after the World Cup finished. And I got tested. First, it was the match test. And we were really matchable. So my kidney was, for him, was the best option that he had. My sister-in-law also wants to be tested, but as soon as we realized that I was a really good match for him, so we just, you know, took the decision that I was going to be the person who gave the kidney away. And then, of course, I got through a lot of tested physically. For me, they just want to realize if you are able to live with one kidney. And, you know, after that, everything was like a roller coaster of emotions. But it was great. I feel always happy to be able to help him. I never, you know, feel fear. I, as soon as I took the decision, I was totally on board with it. And I know that in so many ways, not just God, my dad always was, you know, looking from whatever place he is now, and he was going to take care of her, of his girl and boy. So everything has been great, and we're really happy for it.
Nice. Well, your name obviously is Adriana. Your brother's name is Adrian. So yeah. You're close in many ways, but you're also have always been very close to your brother personally, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. We've been, you know, the two of us since I was born. Mm-hmm. He always helped me when I was a kid and everything. My brother is the smart one of the family. He went to London really, really, really early at his age. He was 17 when he left house. Mm-hmm. In our culture, it's not that common. Probably here in the U.S., it's really common when you get out from high school, go to college, and you just, you know, you're not living with your parents and your family. But back in Venezuela, no, you stay with your dad and your mom until you get married. Okay. So for us, it was really hard to understand that he wanted to go overseas to study, because at that back in Venezuela, you know, the college, they were really good. Mm-hmm. But he got a scholarship, and he went to London. He studied in Imperial College chemical engineering.
Okay.
So that's why I also said that is the smart of the family. You know, I'm more journalist in the part where. And now he invited me to England to live with him for a year to study English. So my brother and I, we've always been, you know, together. And I don't know. I know all the inside of this disease because I live it when I was, you know, mm-hmm. when with my dad. So I knew what he was going to be, you know, go through, and I just wanted to make him life easy and have the opportunity to see their kids grow, mm-hmm. and enjoy the life that he has.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So what can people do if they want to become kidney donors or organ donors in general?
Well, you know what I like the most, this whole experience, is that I made it publicly on social media. And every time a person, you know, text me or tell me, hey, now I'm a donor because of your story, I just wanted to create awareness of what we can do as human beings, mm-hmm. and how easy it could be. Of course, it's going to be a risk. It's a surgery, a major surgery that you're going to go through. But the whole process, they make you just, you know, really easy, and it's all about love. And what you can do, as easy as if you go to the DMV and change your license to be a donor. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of myth and a lot of stories that people heard But it's not that easy if you become a donor to really get your organs when you pass away and is in a situation, for example. You need to have brain death, and your body needs to be in a certain way that it's not just, oh, okay, I'm a donor and they're not gonna help me to fix me if I have an accident because I'm a donor. So they only want my organs. No, it's more than that, and it is really complicated. Just the idea to being a donor. What else you can do as a live person? You can do it live. You can. I didn't know. There's a lot of people that live with only one kidney. Mm-hmm. Like and what I would do? Just get tested. Talk to people. I did this because, of course, it was my brother. But now that I'm a donor and a kidney donor, I think I would do it even though it's not a person related to me. Hmm. Because the whole process is really easy. And I don't know. It's just, it feels great. It feels awesome to help people in that way.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. You came to work again in late February. You recently hosted the event where the groups of the CONCACAF Gold Cup were revealed. Is the Gold Cup going to be the main thing that you do this summer for Univision? And what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it would be. It would be our best. It would be our baby for this summer. Mm-hmm. I love the Gold Cup. I love the way that CONCACAF is trying to grow the area of football here. And I like to see, you know, all these events always involve so many good stories. Yeah. Not just the games and the matches per se, or also the stories around every team. Like, for example, Mexican national team is always great to see the story around the new head coach. What are they going to do? If one of the players, if they're going to say no or yes to the Gold Cup, and all the drama that is involved always about the Mexico national team. How's Tata going to do it? Because Tata, it's been so successful lately, and he was really successful in the MLS. So now we want to see if he can make the difference in Mexico, if he can take the national team to a different level. The United States also is such a great story. They couldn't make it to the World Cup. Now, how are they going to do with all these young and talented players? Mm-hmm. And see if Berhalter is set to this scenario. Also, Costa Rica, which with this such a great trainer, head coach as Gustavo Matosas, which we have seen in so many great teams. Mm-hmm. With León in Mexico, he could won two championships, consecutive championships, which is not a really common thing that you see in Liga MX. So every team has something like Panama. They just made it to their first World Cup. See how are they going to do it with Bolillo Gomez, you know, on board. So every story is a really nice to see the opportunity to have games of the Gold Cup, not just in the US, in Costa Rica, and Jamaica, have the Caribbean to be more in a main role in this tournament. It's really nice to see that, and I think we're going to enjoy it, and I think you're going to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's also great stories in the Gold Cup of really small countries like Bermuda getting in.
And, correct.
And so that's kind of cool, I think. And there's 16 teams in the Gold Cup this year, which is more than they've had before. So you're going to have more of those types of stories.
And we have a lot of tournaments going on during the summer, so it's going to be great how the people react to them. Like we have the World Cup, Women's World Cup, we have Copa America. So I think the summer is going to be great for football people that really enjoy the sports, because you're going to have like a lot of options, and it's just up to us as journalists, as communicators, to engage with people to see our tournament.
Now I'm looking forward to this summer. I wanted to ask you, what's your career story? Because I've read that you actually started as the lead singer of some musical groups. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I always wanted to be a singer when I was a little girl. Well, all little girls want to be a singer. I was studying journalism in Venezuela, and I had the opportunity to do that as my side job. But at that moment, my side job was a little bit bigger than my career as a journalist. So I had the opportunity to make an album with a Latin pop kind of music group.
Nice.
With four girls, and we went to South America. We had like a little tour, and it was a really great experience. Helped me to build more my persona against an audience. Mm-hmm. Facing that wasn't really easy, so I think it helped me a lot to have more experience to be on stage or just, you know, be in front of a camera. But then I moved to the U.S. in 2002. Okay. And I started my life here. I started from zero, trying to find the American dream. I started working as a front desk person in a hotel.
Oh, wow.
In Orlando. Yeah. And then, you know, as a side job, because I have to pay my bills, of course, I started doing auditions as a spokesperson with different brands here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And then I had the opportunity to be the sports anchor of a local station in Orlando in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So it was a really small station, so I had to be the producer of the sports segment, the editor of the sports segment, the talent of the sports segment, the makeup artist. So basically, I couldn't do the camera myself, because, you know, the selfie stick didn't exist at that moment. But I really learn a lot of things, because I was the main person of the department. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, I got an opportunity to go to ESPN. Mm-hmm. And they hired me as one of the main anchors of Sports Center. Mm-hmm. Back in Mexico. So I had to move to Mexico to do that. Wow. And it's, I've been jumping around. Then they transferred me to LA. I went to LA to do a show. And it was a really nice show, because I had the opportunity to have an opinion, not just to say the news. Mm-hmm. On the sports news. So it was great, because I grew a lot in the industry. I had the opportunity to work with someone like David Feitelson. Probably you know him.
Yeah.
That he's really huge in our industry. So I learned a lot from him to debate, to have polemic, to fight over a topic. So that was great too. And then I was Univision brought me in 4 years ago. So now I'm living in Miami and still doing what I love, which is talk about sports, and mainly soccer or football.
Yeah, nice. It's interesting. Your English is obviously fantastic. Do you have any?
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any desire to ever work in English, not just Spanish?
I did some stuffs in English, but I think I miss a little bit of my, how do you say that? Like, I did some crossover things when I was in ESPN. Mm-hmm. Of course, I always gonna have accent, but who doesn't in the U.S.? Everybody right. has an accent in the U.S. Mine is different. Mine is Latin accent. And sometimes I found it really sexy, no? But I don't know. You can tell me. But, but I don't know. Probably I miss a little bit of my... Let me find a word for that. When I'm in English, I'm not the same person when I'm in Spanish. Or I try to, but sometimes I don't find the words that I, you know, need to find in order to address whatever thing I want to say. Mm-hmm. But of course, I always want to do English. It's a totally different scenario, different audience too. But I will love to. I will love to. We can work together whenever you want. Just let me know.
Sería fantástico. But
and you're really good in Spanish too.
Thank you. Next time we do this podcast, we'll do it in Spanish, maybe for the Spanish language audience.
We can do Spanglish. Everybody loves Spanglish.
But it is interesting. Hercules Gomez is a friend of mine. He obviously works in television now, and he works in both English and Spanish. And
yeah.
he thinks that there's actually different styles of broadcasting.
Yeah, totally.
Is that your sense too?
It is my sense too. And me as a talent, I grow up in the Hispanic culture, and I think Hispanic culture see different football, mm-hmm. For example, and they're really passionate. And I always want to transfer that passion that I have in Spanish to my English option when I have the opportunity to work in English. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I could get it, but I don't know if I miss, you know, in translation, because sometimes I don't think in English, sometimes I think Spanish and I do the translation at the same time. So sometimes it's really hard for Hercules is different. Hercules, he grew up here in the U.S., even right. though Spanish for him was a second language. Mm-hmm. The same is for me, but the opposite. In English, English is my second language. Sometimes I do everything and I say a lot of stuff, but sometimes I need to think or sure. overthink things. And sometimes I get, you know, really mad time to say something that I don't want to say. Well, it is complicated to do the crossover, but I think Hercules is really good doing it.
Yeah.
Also, Max Bretos, he's really good yeah. doing that Spanish-English thing. Rodolfo Landeros is really doing it really good, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know, probably when I was in ESPN, I had more opportunities to do English. Now that I'm with Univision, I'm really busy.
I was going to say, you're very busy in Spanish.
So I don't know if I have, you know, the time or the opportunity to do English here. So I don't know. I love my job in Spanish, and yeah. I would never want to leave it. If I'm going to think to do some stuff in English, of course, I would do it at the same time, because Spanish for me, I don't know. I found it more passionate, more sexy, more... And as a person, as a woman working in Hispanic market in sports, mm-hmm. I just want to be, open more doors for women in sports mm-hmm. in Spanish. Probably in English they already a lot, and in Spanish I just want to keep doing big things just for future generations to be more comfy in the mm-hmm. in the sports business.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, you've covered so many big events over the years. What have been some of your favorite career moments over the years?
Wow, that's a great question. I enjoy every moment of my career, and I think that makes you a better person and a better professional. The way that we do things and the way to have success is that you show people that you really care about your job and about your career. And I try to enjoy every coverage that I can have. But for me, the World Cup Russia was amazing, and I think put me in another level. Mm-hmm. I could have the opportunity in Russia to work for both networks. Univision in the U.S. and Televisa in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it was totally exhausted because we're 45 days nonstop, yeah. But I enjoy every minute, every second of the World Cup. I have the opportunity to do this such an important tournament for our culture and for our, you know, for football, having rights, be at the game, at the stadium, feeling, you know, the whole excitement of the fans, see all the process of Mexico national team, because I've been working for Mexico national teams for a while. Mm-hmm. So see that they could beat Germany in their first match. It was awesome. It was historic. And I feel like that victory for them, I got a little bit of credit too. So feel that, being so engaged of your job, it was great. And Russia, as we were a lot of, I was hectic of Russia being the World Cup host, because we didn't know too much about how it was going to be.
Right.
And it was great. It was beautiful. I really enjoyed the culture. I really enjoy how they show their country through the World Cup. And probably it is not the reality, but I think we enjoy it because during that summer, they were great as hosts. And for me, was the best moment of my career.
Nice.
I even have a tattoo of it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Nice. Just a couple more questions.
Yeah, I got one of the Matryoshkas on my leg.
Oh, nice. Good stuff. Just a couple more questions here. Really appreciate your time on this. It's clear from your social media feeds that you care deeply about your country, Venezuela. And I know that the country has been going through a tough time. How difficult has that been for you? Do you still have family there?
Yeah, I still have family, but I don't feel bad about Venezuela just because I have family there. It's just because it's a human thing.
Yeah.
What people of Venezuela is living right now, it's really hard for me to talk about Venezuela, but my family and everybody, it's having a really hard time. When I left my country, I didn't leave my country because of the political situation. I left my country because I wanted to prove something new, to see if I was able to live overseas and if I could, you know, have an international career, an international recognition, an international experience. But I always have the on my thoughts that I was coming back, that I was away for a little bit to prepare myself to bring to Venezuela all the things that I could learn in the United States and bring them to help me to build a great country. But now it's unbelievable. Is my family, the situation is really hard. It's really tough. I always want to use my voice to let the people, not from Venezuela, know what they're doing, what are they living. And this situation has been for a long time. Now we have the el apoyo, I was going to say that.
The support.
The support of so many countries, but they realize now that we've been living in a mess since the last 20 years. And it's really sad that I don't think that it's going to be a really good exit for Venezuela. And I just, you know, try to help the way I could do as a journalist, as a sports journalist, because I'm not a hard news journalist, because I didn't, you know, do that in my career, and I love sports, and I want to stay here. But as a spokesperson, as a Venezuelan who's living outside, that I could have the opportunity to go to see my family, because since my mom came here to live with me, it's been 6 years since the last time I went, and I really feel really afraid to go. So I do whatever I can do from here to help my family, to help a lot of people, because that's all the people need there, help. People that understand that they're, where they're living is miserable, and people, they don't have even, you know, food, just the normal things to have a life. They can have that. Now, there's a power problem, there's a water problem, so everything, it's, you know, it's gets really difficult, and I just try to be a voice and to help from here, whatever I can do to help them.
Yeah.
To make their life a little bit happier.
Yeah, and
unbelievable.
And obviously what's happening in Venezuela is more important, a lot more important than sports. But I guess my I think also of the Venezuela national soccer team, and you know, they've yet to make a World Cup. If if they were to make the World Cup in 2022, it would be certainly a moment of national pride. Where does sports and the national team, where does that fit in with all the horrible things that are happening in Venezuela? Is it an opportunity for people? I don't know. I guess what I'm asking here is where does sports fit?
Well, the La Vinotinto, which is the nickname of our national team, it's always bring joy to the people in Venezuela. It's the only thing that we have in common. Right now, people in Venezuela, it's been a long time that they are, you know, we are separated because of political ideas. Mm-hmm. So La Vinotinto, it's that thing that makes us feel Venezuelans. That's the thing that come us brings together. And of course, since we have never been able to qualify to a World Cup, so the World Cup would be like the most important moment in sports in Venezuela, and it would be the happiest moment since the last 20 years in our country. And sometimes, yeah, you're right. Like you said, sports is not as important as the life of people that it's suffering in Venezuela. But always sports and football, we have to see this sport as a social thing too. Sports like football, like baseball, always bring people together. And unfortunately, our situation is really, really complicated, not just political, socially, in all manners. Mm-hmm. But even La Vinotinto is doing good besides that. Like the federation it's been having a lot of trouble. La Liga in Venezuela, it's been really tough too, because all the situation in this country affect that too.
Yeah.
But La Vinotinto lately, it's been at least given happiness to people. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're not going to close your eyes and, okay, nothing is going on in Venezuela because La Vinotinto is having a good time. Of course not. But this is something that you give to the people, and people enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Venezuela,
they need to be happy sometimes. And that's a really important manner in back in Venezuela, because La Vinotinto, it's been criticized really, really tough lately. But well, if they're still going on, we cannot stop that because of the situation.
Yeah. Well, Venezuela actually playing the United States men's team ahead of the Gold Cup. Lots of talent on that Venezuelan team. This has been a really good conversation, Adriana. I just want to thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Grant. Thank you. I really enjoyed it too. And don't be a stranger. I really enjoy, you know, I know I'm living in Miami now, but I can use, you know, some practice to my English with you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Adriana Monsalve, as well as producer Brandon Nix, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Just a quick reminder, it's a huge help if you subscribe to, rate, and review the podcast. It helps people find us. See you next time.